Hello, and welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? My name is Sammy, and I'm your host for this podcast. I hope you guys are staying indoors, you're staying safe, you're practicing social distancing, you're taking your daily walks outside, you know, and only getting essential items. I hope that's what you guys are doing. Also, I just wanted to say a big thank you to my tea drinkers. You guys have managed to surpass my level of expectation. You guys have brought us over 530 listens within the last couple of months. So, congratulations to you all. Thank you so much. That is just amazing. I am totally grateful for the opportunity to have a platform like this and to be able to express myself and be able to communicate what it is I go through, what I see. And you know, you guys enjoy it, you guys listen, you enjoy, you give me feedback. So again, thank you so much for that. As well as another big thank you to our healthcare workers. I definitely wanted to take some time aside to definitely say thank you to the medical professionals, the healthcare workers, anyone that is literally on the front lines of this pandemic, that are putting their lives at constant risk every single day. You guys are the real MVP for sure. So best wishes. I hope, you know, you stay safe during this as much as you can. We just have to remember that these people are, you know, saving lives every single day outside of the pandemic. They save lives every single day, but this time they are really, really out here. So if you have a healthcare worker, friend, family member, just say thank you to them. Buy them lunch, treat them to lunch, cash app them something. Just say, you know, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for taking care of us. And thank you so much for essentially risking your lives. So I just wanted to segue and say that real fast. So last week's episode, I talked about kind of the compare and contrast between how China has handled the coronavirus versus how America has handled the coronavirus. And you guys have given me very great feedback off that episode. You guys seem to enjoy that episode. So this week's episode is going to be a little on along the same lines in terms of kind of talking about what's going on. But I'm going to be talking about something that has recently submerged into the news recently. For those of you guys who do not know, you would have to stay tuned for this episode. Don't dial back. Get your teacup, put some milk and sugar and stir it up, because we are going to be talking about all things China and what is going on in between being Black and being in China. We'll be right back. And welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? So, today's episode, we are going to be talking about the blackity black, 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 black things happening in China. Let's preface this by saying, and I then repeat, I am not going to advocate or stand by any type of discrimination, any type of prejudice, or any type of racism. I am saying that off rip. This episode, I am giving my listeners another lens to look at what is currently going on. I am giving you facts. There are no opinions. I want you to be able to assess the situation with both sides of the story and then be able to make your decision. I have an issue with journalism today. I call it sloppy journalism, because we want to put the most salacious headlines, the most disturbing pictures, the most inaccurate information without fact checking, without getting down to the source, without, you know, placing facts. We don't do that. And even us as a society or a generation, we don't even bother to ask the questions. We don't even bother to try and get all sides of the story before we jump on a social media bandwagon, and that's what I call it. So this episode is strictly just a factual episode. This is an episode that I have actually done my own homework because I don't feel right reporting on information that A, I do not have an accurate source for, B, that I have not done the research for myself, okay? So that is the rules. The rules are very simple in today's podcast. We are going to give you facts, and then you can assess the situation for yourself. If you still feel a certain way after I have presented the facts to you, you can then proceed. But until you have, let's listen to other perspectives. So what am I talking about? You're probably asking, Sammy, what in the world are you talking about? Within the last week or two, I've been getting messages, whether it be my personal phone, whether it be via Twitter, before I deleted Facebook, via Instagram. And the first question that a lot of people have asked me is, are Chinese racist? Are the Chinese racist? And that's a loaded question. So I'm like, okay, what's the premise of this question? Why are you asking me this question? And it wasn't until I then went for myself and went and saw these just very disturbing headlines of Black people being displaced, especially not Black, not specifically Black, Americans or Black Caribbean, specifically Black Africans, because we're going to have to make this distinction here, okay? Black Africans being displaced in China. And I'm like, okay, what is going on here? As then I read the stories of, McDonald's turning away Black customers. I've read, families are being separated because there might have been some Black Africans that got married to Chinese nationals and they have been separated from their spouses. There are pregnant women roaming the streets. And so I'm like, OMG, right? That's literally what you think. You think, wow, what is really going on? And if you are new to my podcast, I am of Congolese origin. I am from the Democratic Republic of Congo, but I reside in the US and then I also reside in China. So that is my background. So a lot of the people who have reached out to me know that about me. So they were concerned, which I appreciate. I love concerned citizens. So it made me ask the question, what is really going on here, right? So I continue to read, and it says in the Southeast Asia, Southeast China city called Guangzhou. And immediately, if you live in China, when you hear Guangzhou, you literally, a light bulb goes off, right? And you're like, oh, Guangzhou. Okay. You kind of are like, what now? Literally, that's what you think. And for those of you who are Americans who are listening to my podcast, this is like me saying Compton. This is like me saying Atlanta. This is like me saying, Detroit. That's like me, Gary, Indiana. That's like me saying Chicago, right? So when I say certain cities, you automatically have an understanding of what it is I am talking about. You have an understanding in terms of geopolitical things. You have an idea of social economic status. You have an idea of just even the behavior that happens in these cities, right? Compton is known for not only just obviously hip hop and rap and things like that. Compton is also known of being very rough, very, I don't like this word, but yeah, being very like rough around the edges in terms of just like economy and just not a very safe place. Chicago, the same thing. Chicago had a year where the violence was over the roof crazy. There was gun violence everywhere. So you hear certain cities, and certain cities carry a certain reputation, right? That is everywhere in the world. Guangzhou, in China happened to be one of those cities that when you hear it, it carries a certain reputation. So I then continued to read and I see that, you know, people have been displaced and things of that nature. So it got me thinking, what's really going on? What are the layers to this story? And I am here. And again, I'm going to continue prefacing this because I do not want to be misunderstood or misheard. So I'm going to continue prefacing that. I don't advocate for racism. I don't advocate for inhumane behavior. I don't advocate for any of that. I'm just giving you facts. There's no bias any which way. It's a fact. It could be proven. So let me start by saying that Guangzhou is in Southeast China. China is a huge piece of land. Like, big, okay? It's a very huge country. Let's start there. So I want all of you guys, if you listen to this episode, I want you to go and find a map somewhere, whether that be on your phone, your laptop, your iPad, somewhere. Find a map and you type in China and you look for Guangzhou. Guangzhou is in the southeastern part. So when you look at that, what are you going to find from my geography friends? You're going to find that Guangzhou is in a province called Guangdong. That's like me saying the city of South Bend is in the state of Indiana, okay? That way, so for my, you know, American friends or people or for my European friends, that's like me saying London is in Great Britain, okay? So now that we all understand what is going on here. So, with that being said, it is in the southeast part of China. And in that area, you're going to see a body of water. Guangzhou is known as a port city. A lot of import and export businesses go through Guangzhou. Guangzhou is also known as one of the fastest rising economies in China because they have an advantage of being a port city. Okay, so you have a lot of things going in and out, and that is just not related to materials, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into geography real quick. When you are a port city, not only are you having materials and resources going in and out, resources also mean what? People. People go in and out of Guangzhou because guess what? It's just easy. It's very easy access. So the population of Guangzhou is approximately, as of early this year, they've registered 13 million people. That is a very large population for, you know, Guangzhou. So about 13 million people live in Guangzhou. About 3.05 million are foreigners. 3.05 million are foreigners. That is anyone that is not a Chinese national, that does not hold a Chinese passport, okay? That means you could come from Taiwan, you can come from Korea, you can come from Indonesia, you can come from Africa, you can come from South America, you can come from America, you can come from Canada, whatever. Anywhere that is, you are not a Chinese national, okay? About 3.05. That leaves approximately about, if my math serves me right, roughly about 10 million are Chinese, okay? Only, and this was a hard number to find, but anywhere from 86,000 to 120,000 are registered foreigners. Now, if you are not familiar with how the Chinese operate, if you are a foreigner, there is a protocol, right? If you move into a city, the first operate, you have literally 24 hours to do this. You have to go to the nearest police station and register yourself as, hey, I live at this address. My address is XXXXX on Shui Street. And you give them your leasing agreement and all these other things. This is a way for them to quote unquote track you. Okay. That's another conversation. So I'm giving you the number anywhere from 86,000 to 120,000 of them are registered out of 3.05 million. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? That tells you about anywhere from 1 to 2 point something are unregistered. So what does that mean? That could be they're illegal immigrants. So we're just going to put that out there. We're just going to say that about roughly anywhere from 1 to 2 million people in the city of Guangzhou are unregistered. Because essentially in the eyes of the Chinese law, if you are unregistered, if you have a visa and you did not get registered, they will come looking for you. It is very simple. It's not a hard concept. They will come find you. So that is the protocol as a foreigner. If you are a foreigner, you have to register with the police. You have to register with the Foreign Bureau, Expert Bureau, letting them know your business there. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student, something. They need to be aware of your existence, essentially. So with that being said, border control then becomes very problematic in a port city. Okay, you have people coming in and out. You're not sure for what, but you just know you're getting money, right? But you it's very hard to ascertain who's legal and who's not, because it's just a lot of influx of people. In 6 months of the year, their population increases 60% because it's high season in terms of import-export businesses. So 6 months of the year, about half the year, their population increases by almost 60%. And again, it's hard to ascertain these numbers because if people don't follow the proper protocol of getting yourself checked or getting yourself registered, there's no way for them to keep an accurate count. So these are some facts I want you all to have, right? So you all are very now, you have an idea of what we're looking at here. So I will never condemn being thrown out on the street during a global crisis. I will never condemn throwing out, especially women and children, especially women that are pregnant. And so now this leads me to my next report. In the last 2 weeks, over 100 of the African population have been tested positive for COVID-19. Now, 100 people. And it is also said to be that these folks did not seek out the proper health care because of fear of what? Deportation. Now, when you're walking around with this certain virus where it's highly contagious, that's just 100 people, right? That's just 100 people that managed to get caught and got tested. Now, it's no telling where this person has been, where this person has went. There's no way to really track where this person's movements. So then now you have a bigger problem on your hands, right? And so with that being said, you have a bigger issue of not knowing where these people have went. And then you also have the issue of folks who decided that I don't have to self-quarantine or I don't have to stay indoors, right? So you go about business as usual. You keep going back to work even though you are not an essential worker. You keep having parties. You keep going to bars and things like that. I mean, at some point you have to then peg the question, why? Why? If you think this, if you are in America and you are an illegal immigrant, it's a lot easier to get away with. I'm just stating facts because I'm pretty sure we all know someone who has been here illegally, have overstayed their visa, you know, a little too long, and it's business as usual. In China, that is definitely not the case because I can not my personal experience, but I know a couple of people who have overstayed their visa, whether it was negligence Or it was because of their employer who did not file the proper paperwork. Guess what? You overstay your visa even 24 hours. These people are coming to look for you and they are coming to ask you questions. I can even tell you that someone that I know had to sit in a police station for 6 hours to be questioned because the school that they were working for was negligent and didn't file the proper paperwork. So because of that, this person had to sit in a police station for about 6 months. So the Chinese really don't play when it comes to immigration. However, with the situation in Guangzhou, it's quite difficult to be able to do things the way you're supposed to legally do them because of just the amount of people that go through that city. It's nearly impossible to be able to just process all these documents and do what it is you need to do. Because guess what? A lot of these people are coming to work because now with it having an import and export business, you need bodies to fill those positions. Where are you getting those bodies from? They're coming from somewhere, right? Whether they're the Chinese working them themselves or they're getting other foreigners to work those positions. It's just simple supply and demand here. With that also being said, you have folks who are completely not trying to understand the economics of this entire pandemic, because one thing I have noticed, and like I said, I've managed to stay pretty much very quiet about this because journalism is still a business. People still need to eat. People still get paid. So have you ever wondered when you click on an article, there are some ad money that comes from that? So you don't think we are very visual creatures. So you don't think if you see the most disturbing headlines, you don't see the most salacious headlines that you're going to click on it. And not only are you going to click on it, guess what you're going to do? You're then going to turn around and share it, right? And then that person's going to share it. You don't think that money's going somewhere? Come on, people. Let's make this make sense, okay? So in relation to the Guangzhou situation, yes, there's a lot of, it's not very black and white as the media has portrayed. There's a lot of layers to this situation, right? Now, we're going to now segue into the burning question that I have gotten all week, right? Are the Chinese racist? Here's what I'm going to say. The Chinese do not like people that are not them, right? You have to understand that. The Chinese border had been closed up until the late 80s, right? So only about 30 years that the Chinese have allowed other people to come into their country and work and go to school and start families and start businesses. Only 30 years. That's not a long time. You know, I'm going to be 30 this year. It's not a lot going on, right? So for the longest time, these people, it's a monocultural, monoethnic place, right? Everybody look alike. No shade, but everybody look alike. So now you get into the dynamics of what that looks like. They start looking at you funny. They're not sure of why you look a certain way. They're not sure of why your hair looks a certain way. They're not sure why your body's built a certain way, because Most Chinese that I've encountered, they're petite in frame, especially their women. They're petite in frame. They're petite in height. Mind you, I'm sizing up at 5'11". So already I stand out. So the question of, are the Chinese racist? Yeah, they're very much racist. So at this point, we related then to Guangzhou. So if they are, but they're racist in a subtle way. In terms of, it looks like this. So now the Chinese are underlying low-key kind of racist, right? So you do something that kind of now gives them what? Probable cause by, you know, being out, doing this, doing that. Now we're going to start trying to implement policies in order to kind of, you know, get you out of here. That's really what that looks like for them. They're just like, you know, we already kind of don't care for you as is. We're kind of waiting for you to mess up. That's literally what it looks like. So, are the Chinese racist? Sure. Another question that I've gotten is, have I experienced racism in China? And the answer is no. In China, I'm first a foreigner, then I'm black. It's not I'm black, then a foreigner. No, it's I'm foreign, then I'm black. I have not experienced racism in China. I've experienced, obviously some, the most I've experienced is, like I said, people see me, I'm 5'11", and they're like, you're super tall. The first question they ask is if I play basketball. And a lot of the Chinese ignorance is the first thing they ask you as a black person is, are you from Africa? Now we can get into the synopsis and, the semantics of that question. But the first question is, are you African? Yes, by origin, yes, I am African. But you have someone who is from the States, it was not born in Africa, and you have people that are like, no, I'm from America. They find it hard to believe that black people live in America, right? Even as an English teacher, they think, oh, she's African. And I'm like, okay, yes. Like I said, we can get into the semantics of that question later. But that is their first assumption. Their first assumption is you're African and then whatever else. But I've never experienced racism in China. And the question follows then, have I experienced racism in America? Absolutely. I've been called the N-word at my job several times. Like, to me, I'm just like, okay, it is what it is. So what? You know, it doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, used to. But then you have the situation, like I said, I'm going through the questions on my Instagram as I'm talking to you all, of the questions that I've gotten. And it's like, do you feel safe as a black person in China? And the answer is yes. The Chinese don't like conflict. They like to save face. They don't want confrontation, right? So they will avoid it at all costs, if that includes avoiding you, right? Because they think if I say something wrong, it could be a problem. So for them, they would rather just not even engage you. So do I feel safe? Absolutely. I can leave my house at 1 o'clock in the morning and walk around my neighborhood and nobody's checking for me. That's just my experience. That I can't speak for every black expatriate that lives in China. Everyone's experience is different. My experience has been, you know, I have not experienced that. There was a point where I was in Beijing until 5 o'clock in the morning and I took a taxi home by myself. I had, you know, plenty to drink at that, because we were at a club. I had plenty to drink and I felt safe. They dropped me off at my hotel and I went about my day. So that is, like I said, that has just been my experience. I cannot speak for every black expatriate in China. I can speak for mine, and I can even probably speak for Chira's, because we obviously lived in the same city. And so we haven't really, people have taken to us. We have the annoying folks want to take pictures all the dang on time. That becomes annoying. But to those questions that I have gotten, and, you know, oh my God, Sammy, is China racist? Oh my God, Sammy, are you okay? Oh my God, Sammy, like, you should not want to live in a place that nobody wants you. Okay, to answer that question, because that one has been, whoo, y'all been giving it to me. The question of, you know, or the statement of, why would you want to live in a place where nobody wants you or they don't even want you there? You have to really understand the weight of that question, because I live in a country where they pretty much don't want you, or they try hard to put you in positions. I mean, we could talk about systemic racism. We could talk about institutional racism. I mean, we could go there. We can go there. But, you know, that's not the point of this podcast or this episode today. So, yes, I'm in a country where but again, I'm a foreigner first and then I'm black. It's never been the other way around for me. You know what I'm saying? And so I haven't experienced racism, thank God. I haven't been discriminated against. I've had, like I said, I've had annoying issues, and I'm not here to praise, oh, China is the greatest country on earth. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm just here to give you fact. I'm here to give you what it is that I've seen and the pattern that I've seen. I'm here to just tell you what my experience is. My experience will be very different from the next person. But all in relation to the situation in Guangzhou, a lot of people have asked me, what do I feel? I feel this. I don't feel like it's right or any type of okay to discriminate, to pass judgment on, to throw people out in the worst time ever. I feel like that's just like the worst. There's no how I feel about anything. It's just on a basic human level, it's not right. Now, I'm telling you guys to decipher this and pull the layers off. Pull the layers off. Understand other people's positions besides your own. That is the point of today's episode. My point of today's episode was not to bash here, bash there. That was not my point. My point was to give you the facts of what it is that I know. And then you all can make the decision of how you choose to proceed, right? But you have both sides of the spectrum. You have both sides of the situation. And that is what I can do for you as your fellow Congolese Tantin, is give you that. And then you make your decision. But that wraps it up for today's episode. You guys, thank you so much for staying tuned with this long rant that I had. But next week is my last week of season one. We have completed season one. Woohoo! Jiao, jiao, which is the Chinese word, is like courage, courage. Next week's episode will be lighthearted. It'll be fun. It'll be nice to close out the season. And then we will be back for season two. I'm not going to tell you. No, it's not going to be too long. Season two will be back first week of June. And we will be back to our regularly scheduled program of uploading every Saturday at 6 p.m. So, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I miss you. I love you. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Until then, keep sipping some tea.